Three Ballers Podcast, a Blue Wire Hustle joint. I am your host, John, here with Alex Cordova Jr., full name.
Yo. What's up?
Once again, that's Alexis Cordova Jr. We are not working with his father on this podcast.
Check. Yeah, it's kind of like James Bond Jr. You know what I mean? Remember that?
Does he have a
cartoon? It was a cartoon. It was fire as fuck.
What?
Yeah, and he would be like, he was kind of like a teenager. And he was like, you know, the name's Bond. James Bond Jr. That was how every episode started.
No. Don't tell me there was a James Bond Jr. cartoon. Oh,
James Bond Jr. knocked my socks off, man. It was fantastic.
Really?
Yeah, James Bond Jr. slapped. It was so good.
Oh my God, there is a James Bond Jr. cartoon.
Yeah,
character
man.
Described as the nephew of James. Wait, he's the nephew of James Bond? Hey, so James Bond's brother is also named James Bond?
We don't got to get into it. We don't got to get into the... It turns out he's not even related to James Bond. He's just a con artist.
Oh. Oh, spoiler alert. I was going to go in on this one, but that's cool. Damn, TV series, 1991 to 1992.
Yeah, yeah. It was short-lived, but I enjoyed it as a wee lad.
I hope you're proud of yourself, man. I like the nostalgia of the Sean Connery James Bond. Whatever this whitewashing they're doing here with this cartoon. No, sir, not for me.
It was fire. It was fire.
Okay. All right.
Last week you gave your okay award to the Miami Heat. And
yes,
if there is a way to know if my Heat brethren are listening, all I got to do is just let you talk about the Heat because, man, I got a lot of responses back that it seems that your take on the Heat came off a bit smug.
You don't say. I mean, you can. I'll let you finish because I was. I'm fully unaware of what you're referring to be very honest.
Yeah. So some Heat fans, some of my Heat peoples, feathers were ruffled.
Really?
A bit. From your take on the Heat, and I thought it was kind of funny because, like, I have been disappointed in them, not now, but like in the beginning of the season, their start was awful. And I'll get into all that later. But so, you know, I kind of just let it ride. But I would say that it kind of didn't go as planned because they are currently on the NBA's longest winning streak at six games.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? Back into the playoff picture and whatnot. So they're sitting at number five right now, just above your Boston Celtics.
Yes, yes.
And, you know what I'm saying? Do you still think that the Hornets would beat them in the play-in game?
I'm trying to remember last week. I'm confused. Like, I gave you guys a compliment last week. Like, that's not, you guys can't even take a compliment. Well, like, I'm trying to, like, I humbled myself and I used my okay award on your team. Like I said, hey, they deserve it. They're back to their winning ways. They beat some good teams. Matter of fact, I think, who did they beat? They beat the Lakers recently.
Yes.
Beat the Hawks, which isn't really too much, but go ahead.
Just beat the Utah Jazz, who are the best team in the NBA.
Yeah. So
I would also add that they're not at full strength currently still. So you know what I'm saying? Watch out. Well,
I mean, I don't know. What are we jumping down my throat for? Like, I gave them credit a week ago. Like, I was like, they get the okay award. I humbled myself. I said, you know, I got to be objective. I'm a I'm an NBA journalist now, Alex. I have
it's true.
I can't be, you know, I am partial to one team. We all know who that team is, but I mean, I give credit where credit's due, you know. They won, they beat the Celtics in six games last year.
All right, all right.
To go to the finals to lose handily to the Lakers.
So there you have it. Heat people. John, it took a lot of himself to to give that award to the Heat. And yeah, you know what I'm saying? I just needed to air that out for the people. And
come at me, bro. They want to they want to. I feel like Denzel at the end of Training Day, and all the Heat fans are like gathering around me, and I'm like, okay, all right, okay, Jake, okay, like what did I do wrong? I would ask these Heat fans to maybe they can give the Celtics some credit. I mean, both teams I think have the same record exactly after today, so
identical.
It's not, we're both underperforming, so it is what it is.
Yeah, so see, I'm too jolly. Like, I wanted to like go on a rant or something, just for my boys. Mm. But I'm too jolly for that, because I think I'm pretty happy with where the Heat are and stuff, and I don't have a problem with like other teams being good and stuff. But I do think that it leads us to a little checkup on our favorite teams, the Heat and the Celtics. We're about halfway through, so
let's dig in.
Let's get it all up in there. Take it away, Johnny.
Okay, is it gonna be me first? I was gonna let the Heat people have it first as another show of my humility. If you guys don't want, me to be humble and courteous, then fuck the whole city. You know what I mean? I don't even care anymore. Oh man. Let's check in. I mean, actually this is a good time to do it. I mean, both teams have the exact same record, 17 and 17, 17 up, 17 down. I think you guys are technically, on top. I guess you win the, if the playoffs started today, yeah, you guys would be fifth and we would be sixth. Just based on, I assume, a tiebreaker.
And also I think like May 5th, they play again, and then they do one of those like baseball back-to-back type schedule.
Which should
things.
Be fun. Yeah.
It's not a back-to-back, I don't think, but it's like, you know, they play two times in a row.
Right. It's, it's their, it's every other day, but it's the same team, for those 2 days. So. Celtics highly underperforming after starting out the season at the top of the conference. After 11 games, they were 8-3 at the very top. I think the, and of course, since then, they've gone 9-14. So they are, and I think, honestly, if there's one thing I can pin it down to is the loss of Marcus Smart. Him being out apparently is way bigger than everybody assumed it would be. Marcus. If you're a Celtics fan, Marcus, if you're a Celtics fan, you know how important he is. But still, you kind of feel like the team can survive a little bit without him because he doesn't bring the scoring punch. However, I did just see recently his numbers in the games that he's played this year are like all career highs. I'm talking points, assists, I think steals as well. So he was having a banner season already. So it was probably what was leading to them being at the top of the conference. So him coming back will be huge. And that should happen soon. And then a lot of these games that they're losing, they're by 5 points or less. So it's the same story as last year. They're not closing out games. They're gassing out in the second half of games. And they're not punching back. They're not responding to what it's, they won today. They beat the Wizards by a point. I saw the highlights. I was out all day. I didn't get to like actually watch the game, and that they almost lost it. They were down by five with like 45 seconds left. So they had to like pull out some miracle shit. Tatum, of course, you know, made the go ahead shot, and luckily, Bradley Beal happened to step out of bounds. He put up a 46 point game. Just amazing. Right. But so basically they won another close one today, which is the first time they've won two games in a row in a long time. I think about a month. To be very honest. So Yeah, they're highly underperforming. I mean, and then of course all the chatter starts. There's the people who want to fire Brad Stevens. There's the people who want to make a trade for the most recent one I heard is for Lonzo. They want to trade Kemba to the Pelicans and get back Lonzo and Steven Adams, which I for some reason just don't want. I don't want Lonzo and Steven Adams I would take, but they already have sort of a clog in the big man area. Anyways, I'm off in the weeds, but yeah, they're basically underperforming. The chatter is starting. Everybody's on edge waiting to see what Danny does with these, with the player, the trade exceptions that he has. Cause he's got three of them. Got basically. That
big one from the Hayward thing. Yeah.
So everybody's kind of like on edge. Like it's almost a guarantee he's going to use it in some way, shape or form. Most likely not on a big man. I wouldn't say that they have big man issues because they have a pretty good rotation of Tice and Tristan Thompson and Rob Williams. And Rob Williams, by the way, is putting up amazing numbers now. His presence in the game is the only thing, he's not really good at that is hurting them is his lateral defense. That's where Tice kind of comes in. He's a little better at that. But Time Lord, he's catching lobs from everybody. I mean, his elbow is at the rim. I mean, he's just, he's their center of the future, basically.
Some Time Lord.
Yeah, he's amazing, and he's proven he's really showing this year like that Danny knows how to draft. He was 27th in the draft when they got him, so he's proving to be a steal at this point. So, so they have a clog at 27.
Both teams like are, you know, sitting at 17 and 17, but it's like it's two different narratives happening, you know, like, even though they have the same record, like, I had saw that, Bill Simmons had recently said, even though Bill Simmons is kind of ridiculous,
but
he essentially said that Danny Ainge is out of excuses, haven't won a title since 08. At some point, you are who you are. I've seen a coach that doesn't have a handle on his roster and a roster that was poorly constructed. So Bill Simmons is a Celtics fan, so he's super pissed. He's like not having it with this with this little slump here. Didn't Kemba miss a good chunk of time there?
He was out. Yeah. They've been kind of nursing him because he had this really, you know, this injury that started from last year, if I remember correctly. So they've been kind of nursing him back. And so he's been not so much out, but his minutes have been limited. And he was out for a few games. I shouldn't say that, but his minutes as they're bringing him back have been slow and steady. And luckily, the rookie that they got from Oregon, Peyton Pritchard, has been able to step in and actually fill in pretty nicely. Right. He hustles. He's got, he can shoot threes, so he's been a huge asset.
Yeah. Funny nickname,
Fast Pee-Pee.
Yeah, gotta say that.
we just lost the Disney bag again.
Oh hail!
It's all hail. They've been kind of nursing him back. I mean, he's been having some every time somebody comes out and says Kemba's the worst point guard in the league, he'll go out and he put up a game the other day against not the New Orleans game. I want to say it's the previous game. He just puts up 30 points and, you know, he's making incredible shots and he's back to the old Kemba again. So, I mean, he's just kind of he's getting his minutes are getting slower and slower back to where they used to be, to where, you know, back to the Charlotte Kemba Walker. So, and he's kind of the key, I think. Tatum and Brown like are there and they're young. So we know what they can do. Brown's having his amazing, not a resurgence, but like it's his coming out season, I guess, is this one here. Tatum's was last year. And of course, he's still playing well. But Kemba playing well is that third threat that they need. And so when he plays well, the whole team plays well, at least at this point with Marcus Smart still being out. So, I'm not worried about him. I think, his shooting is still there. He's still quick. He's still, you know, he's still effective on the court. So I'm not worried about him, but, Marcus Smart, I think, is the key, getting him back in his energy, his hustle, his defense, his leadership, basically. I mean, he's been on the sidelines, you know, talking to all the young guys, of which they have a ton of, by the way, that are all coming off the bench for them. And he's basically, you know, he's coaching them up. He's leading them. He's telling them, you know, what to do in game, you know, right then and there. I mean, he's injured, but he's got to, you know, he can still be there on the sidelines. So, yeah,
that's it's been, good.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah. And it's, and that's invaluable. He's earning his paycheck.
Yeah. Cause that's a huge part of what he brings, is just his like energy and passion in the particular moment where like some dudes are more chill and he's like, you know, he's got a lot of heart when he's out there. Yeah, I'm looking at a quote here from Brad Stevens on the Celtics' recent struggles, and he says that he was telling his wife, I had a root canal and my identity stolen last week, and I think those were two of my better days in the last 8 days. And it's like, wow, yeah. My biggest takeaway from that is, like, could you imagine stealing Brad Stevens' identity?
Was it his or Danny? I thought Danny Ainge said that.
No, it was Brad.
Was it Brad Stevens? Yeah. Okay. They've both been having a lot of funny quotes lately, but yeah, I guess it was Brad Stevens.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Like, imagine I don't know how the identity theft game works. You know what I'm saying? Shout out South Florida, but imagine having your hands on Brad Stevens' identity. Like, that's fucking hilarious.
Well, it's not, are you, you're making it sound like it's like somebody reached into his back pocket and took his wallet out and like has his like driver's license.
No, is that but what you're, you know what I mean? Like just having his, having social his information. And shit. I bet like 9 times out of 10, when you're a person who does this sort of thing, it's just rando people. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you don't get a fresh one and it's like Anthony Davis, like what?
On a weird side note there, I just watched something about identity theft recently, and you're right, it's actually very, very random type of people that get their identity stolen. There's no targeted attack. Like there wasn't these guys that took his identity weren't specifically looking for Brad Stevens information. They just happened to catch a whale in a sea of nobodies.
Yeah, that's just wild to me.
Right.
But anyways, the Heat, man, on the other hand, had horrible start to the season, really brutal, like with just COVID protocols and guys catching it and stuff like that. Where it was like a G League team out there for some nights. And then finally, since Jimmy's been back, I think they're like 9-3 or like, and they won tonight when he sat out. But Tyler Hero returned. So I believe, after the upcoming break and probably a little bit going into it, they'll finally be like complete. But going 9-3 with Jimmy and riding the ship, you know, sitting at 17-17, but like 7-3 in their last 10 and 6 in a row as of now, you know, everything is looking like it's kind of starting to gel. And that makes me happy. It was pretty brutal there for a minute, but. One of the things I think that has caused this to happen, besides just health and Jimmy being back and everything, Kendrick Nunn, who last season was like in talks of Rookie of the Year at times, until just like there's no way John Morant wasn't going to be Rookie of the Year, but Kendrick Nunn was that good though, and then suddenly kind of just like fell off a cliff. And he was basically not even in the rotation, and now he's earned his spot back, and he's been playing well. And you know, having a dude that can do some playmaking for you, but also drop like 14-15 rather easily, that's a big boost for the guys who take on the rest of the scoring burden. And then, yeah, Dragic also looking healthy. And then Tyler Hero missed a couple of games and he just returned. So hopefully Jimmy just was resting today, because, I mean, the guy has been insane in his last few games.
Yeah, his numbers are his numbers are intimidating, to put it mildly. Yeah.
But yeah, I think both of these teams might be involved in a trade or like a buyout guy, free agency acquisition, as like as we approach the deadline. Because I mean, both teams could use a little bit of a extra push.
Yes.
It doesn't feel super great taking what we have here going up against like the Nets, you know.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, and Philly looks great. Milwaukee's still dangerous. And apparently the Knicks are another team that people have to go through now. Which, by the way, I mean, if that doesn't humble you, I don't know what will. I mean, their record is better than both of ours. They're in fourth place. Like if the season ended today, that's your first round opponent. And you'd be in New York. And I think by the time the playoffs are ready to go, we may have some people in the stands. So
that would be awesome, actually.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that because they recently announced that Boston will start to have some people in the stands come next month, I think, at the end of the month. Major announcement. So I'm hoping, I mean, you know, just NBA aside, that they do it safely and they distance people or everybody wearing masks and there's some sort of testing or something. I don't know. Just some sort of protocol for having fans in a stadium again. But that's huge, especially since, you know, we talked about it last episode. This not having fans in the stands is kind of muddying up the records, I think. I think there would be, I mean, there are some teams pulling away as there always will be, right? You know, Jazz are a big surprise. The Sixers are somewhat of a surprise, but I mean, you can't be too surprised with the talent they have, especially with Embiid's MVP caliber season. But point being, like, some of these records, I feel, are sort of a product of there not being fans there. So the home court advantage is not what it normally is. Guys are still having to fly across the country and play games, so that does have an effect on you as their road team. But I think I think with no fan, when you start to see fans come back, all of a sudden the home court advantage comes back too. And things kind of go back to the way they used to be in the NBA pre-COVID, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm actually trying to, I want to see how we are, how we're looking with that. I want to see the actual numbers of like home versus away.
For specifically your team?
No, like just the entire NBA.
Yeah,
interesting. According to this book from 2011, it's called Scorecasting: The Hidden Influences Behind How Sports Are Played and Games Are Won. Wow. Solid, but kind of long title there.
Yeah, it's a little much. Is this a plug you're doing right now?
I guess I'm sourcing what I'm about to say.
Okay. Actually, that's fair. Yeah.
These dudes... they pulled decades of data from 7 sports and 19 different leagues and levels of play. In each, the home team had won a solid majority of games over the previous decade, from 54% in Japanese baseball to 69% in college basketball.
Nice.
The home team winning. Pretty interesting.
69%.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So in the playoffs last year in the bubble with no fans, the home teams went 39-44.
No shit.
Yeah. And usually when in the normal playoff times and shit, home teams are like kind of chilling in the mid-60s. Of winning percentages.
Wow. Now they're under 500 because of the bubble. Yeah. That's, yeah, right. I mean, that's, yeah, it just goes to show the influence of fans.
Yeah, that's bubble numbers too. So now yeah, it's a little bit different because a bunch of teams have fans already. Like I think the Heat have fans. Like I've seen a lot of teams with fans. It's not the same as having the full capacity, but they're still there. But I'm only saying that to point out that those that was just like bubble numbers, and it'd be interesting to see this year, you know, how it's going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you look at the standings as they are now, I mean, the teams that are doing better at home are, you know, they're doing exceptionally better at home are at the top. So, maybe our theory is completely incorrect that like just that playing at home is still good, even if you don't have a lot of fans in the stands. Maybe there's just sort of a, I don't know.
Well, those teams are just good, though, you know.
That too, yeah. I mean, Philly. I'm looking in the East. You know, Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. I mean, those teams are all at least 10 games over 500 just at home. Philly, believe it or not, is under 500 on the road, which is pretty standard for them. But that's it's actually a pretty telling stat if that stays the way it is. Because yeah. I seem to remember one of these past years they actually had like an almost impeccable home record, but their road record was just terrible. And then it caught up with them in the playoffs. But anyways, that's a side note. But like, yeah, so I mean, with fans coming back, I think you'll start to see some teams create separation with the teams from the bottom type of a thing. So
yeah, that'll be really interesting this whole time. It's just such a weird season with the players are traveling, but there's not but barely any fans, and then the health protocol and all that, like it's unlike any other season that we've seen.
The Raptors are still playing in Tampa Bay, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
they're also 17-17. They've been doing much better as well.
Yeah, which I had a feeling. I mean, they looked bad. If they're in the same boat as our teams. They started out the season slow, and now they're, you know, because of good coach. I mean, and this is all. I mean, what do you say? The good coaching, basically. Like, you know, we. You know, you start out slow, but I mean, you know, you get to a certain point where it's like, okay, we got to make adjustments and figure out what needs to be done. And then you start you start moving up and up and up the standings. It just seems to be the way it goes.
Yeah. And they're a good team. And Kyle Lowry has been balling out as usual, even though there is some like Kyle Lowry trade rumors and stuff, trade rumblings.
The trade deadline should be fun. I think we talked about last episode, but yeah, I mean, as far as our teams are concerned, I just can't wait to see what Danny does with this trade exception. He has a lot of freedom with it. It's the biggest one ever in the history of the NBA. And so make it count. You know what I mean? I don't know if he feels like he needs to go all in with it or just make some minor improvements. I don't know. That's one of those things that, you know, you talk with Brad, like, what are we looking for here? You know, I think what they need is swingman depth at the moment. And I don't know who's out there, but I'm sure there's somebody. And I have a feeling it'll be one of those things where they use the player exception and get somebody that you just weren't expecting they were going to get. So.
Yeah. For those of you at home, the trade deadline is March 25th, so we still got some time here.
But the dealings are happening like right now, right?
Oh, yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's chatting right now.
Phone calls are being made. Oh, yeah. Texting, AOL instant messaging.
WhatsApp.
Yeah, Pat Riley's T-Mobile sidekick is going off.
Why he has a, do you know that? Do you know that that's what he has?
Oh no, I doubt it. He probably, who knows what he has.
Does he have the phone? I mean, I think my dad has an Android too, but it has that setting where like the articles you read, like the letters are gigantic. And as you're scrolling through it, like they're just made for people who have bad eyesight and stuff like that. Cause they're old.
Yeah, probably. He's getting up there. I think he's like 75 or ish.
Yeah.
So
it's old ass man.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
It would definitely make sense. But yeah, trade deadline March 25th. That's going to be spicy. That's going to, just the fact that it's looming will put some pressure on things, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
and we will see. And if somebody gets traded, I might be like, okay. If the Heat get, you know, pick up a nice player in the buyout market, you know, okay.
What do they need?
Man, I don't even know. Probably like maybe like a power forward of some sort, or a point guard. Okay. An additional point guard, but I don't know. It's hard to say right now because the team we've only just now been getting to see them look healthy and stuff. So it's hard because every time I think about what they need, I'm thinking about watching like these just terrible games. That's not who they are. So yeah, when I think about it, yeah, I don't. I'm thinking like a point guard or a power forward would really help.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they're only, you know, both of these teams are only 5 games back from the first spot. So this is wide open. Nobody expected the Knicks to be where they are. Actually, interesting thing, I found out last time the Knicks were 18 and 17 like this. They went to the finals. So that's an interesting little tidbit there. Yeah. So I don't see this team doing that, but, you know, I mean, who's to say, right?
Yeah, it's exciting. I like when the Knicks are good because they're a classic Heat rival. And when I was a kid, I used to love watching them play against each other. And it just doesn't even matter anymore. And it's like, it feels lame. Like, I want them to be good enough to where I can hate them again.
It's not going to be as good as it was in those days when you're talking about like when they had like Allen Houston and Patrick Ewing and Larry Johnson and you guys had like Mourning and Hardaway and those that little rivalry they have in there.
Oh yeah,
it was better back then because that's when Pat Riley had just come to the Heat, if I remember correctly, from the Knicks, right? Yeah, so it was a little more spicy for that particular reason. But shit, I mean, all it takes is a few like you know. Brouhahas to happen in a Heat Knicks game and it could just go right back to where it was, especially since like isn't the majority of like the population of Miami like New York retirees?
You'd think so sometimes.
It's
man.
Not like that anymore okay,
you'd think so if you went to like a Dolphins Jets game, man, or something like that.
Yeah.
it's pretty annoying, but there is a weird like flow between New York and South Florida all the time. People going back and forth and whatnot.
Well, you get your pension in New York and then you save money by moving down to Florida where there's no state income taxes. Yeah. So
moving down to Florida. As they would say, probably.
Yeah, they're not just, there's the snowbird and then there's the actual old ass people that are retiring down there.
But yeah, the Knicks doing pretty well. Just got to number 4 in the standings, and they're actually even the Heat have the longest winning streak right now. But and they're 7-3 in their last 10. The Knicks are also 7-3 in their last 10. The only teams that have outperformed that are the Suns, the Jazz, and the Nets.
As far as winning streaks go?
Or as far as last 10 games, just looking now.
Mm-hmm.
So the Knicks are right up there. They're playing good basketball. And, you know, that leads us to our OK awards.
Okay.
And now, the 249th annual OK awards presented by MTV.
249th annual. My goodness. It's an extra special amount of time there, my friend.
But yeah, I got to give my OK award to Julius Randle. Just kind of like a team award, you know what I mean? But I give it to him to represent them. He's been balling out. He's been balling out, and he was named an all-star. And I've always liked his game. So I think it's cool to see him be an all-star, and especially on the Knicks. If you know, you go to the Knicks and you're an all-star and they're in the playoff race, That's like, what more can you ask for? You know, what I mean, it's not exposure. Like you're gonna, you're not winning a ring or anything. So, you know what I'm saying?
26 years old. I mean, this is his now seventh year, I think, or 6 years, I should say. 23 a game, just under 11 rebounds, just over 5 assists. Absolutely. His stats are, I mean, he's the best player on the team, arguably. And so, I mean, that's part of why they're, I mean, they have a, it's a young core, with him as the leader, basically. He's their guy. He's their go-to guy, you know, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. I didn't like how things went with him on the Lakers. I thought he was going to be on the Lakers for a long time.
Mm.
And it's just weird how things happen. And I think it's cool that he's doing his thing over there. What you got for me? Where are you taking?
Yeah, I'm going for the OKOK award. I like yours, by the way, Julius Randle. That's a great choice. And I think I think with New York finally doing well, it's good to see. And we need to start recognizing every player on that team, basically.
Yeah,
they finally got something going. So
yeah, him making the All-Star team and all that. Mm-hmm. You know,
absolutely. No, I was kind of torn. I had two different players in mind. Ultimately, I mean, maybe I may end up picking the other one the next time we the next episode, but. I'm going with Jeremy Lin for this week for my okay award.
Okay.
He's kind of shedding a lot of light on the there's a ton of anti-Asian American racism going on, like that he's been dealing with since his days at Harvard. He's speaking up about it now because the G League team he plays for, the Santa Cruz Warriors, he said somebody called him, like nicknamed him coronavirus.
During
one of the games. Yeah. And like he heard it and he didn't call them out or anything. But he's shedding a lot of light this past week on all of the racism he's been dealing with since he's been at Harvard. I didn't even realize this was so, I mean, I'm hearing a lot more of it now since the pandemic has started, just in general, you know, the anti-Asian America thing. I've seen the video out of New York of a woman getting randomly attacked by a guy and then they caught him on camera and arrested him. It's ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
It was just in my blind spot personally. And I'm glad that Jeremy Lin is actually, shedding some light on this. I didn't realize, he's been dealing with this for so long and I didn't realize it was so, so prevalent, but I mean, at some point I can't be too surprised about America anymore, but like, not to get off in the weeds, but Jeremy Lin, kind of shedding light on the, terrible, terrible things he's been dealing with. And just making it clear that, like, you know, Asian Americans deal with a lot, especially since this pandemic has been happening. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a excellent. Okay. Award.
Kind of a sobering one, but yeah, it felt important to me. So, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, that Jeremy Lin, man, I was so into Linsanity when that was happening. Same. And I'm a Heat fan too. So it's like, that's the Knicks and everything. That's saying a lot. And yeah, I do remember even during that time, he wasn't quite embraced for some reason, you know, like, I do remember a lot of terrible, racism like directed towards him, just terrible content and the shit like that, but through it all, like since then all the way to till now, he's always helping to add to the discussion and
sure.
Like I think that's one of his strengths. You know, he's on some Spider-Man shit, you know, like with great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
And he's using his platform to talk about something that's really been like heating up in our country lately. And that's, I think it's important that everybody understands that that's a thing.
I guess I just never, like I said, for me, it's a blind spot. Maybe that's my privilege talking. So I just don't ever hear of these things happening. And then, I mean, him speaking out about it, I mean, now they're opening an investigation basically. He won't name names. Apparently he knows the person that used that slur against him, but he's, I mean, he's speaking up about it now, and, you know, the league is investigating, you know, looking into this kind of stuff. So it's, you know, I don't know. It just, it gets everybody a little bit more woke about another issue that's happening in America. So, and I'm glad he decided to say something about it. 'Cause it takes a lot to actually, I mean, you know, most guys could just say, well, whatever, it's just some ignorant person. I'll just ignore their comments. But I think when you put it out there, it sort of puts it in the limelight a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a well-deserved OK award, man. But by the end of this thing, the OK awards are going to be so like ranging, like Jeremy Lin out there trying to shed light on anti-Asian racism. And then you're going to have, like, you know, some dude got a fly haircut and stuff. But, you know, it's things that when you see it, you go, OK, OK.
I think the ultimate OK will come when we create our OK, OK, all OK team.
Wow.
Like, I don't know, at the end of the season or something, like a team of like, I don't know, 15 players or something like that. All the ones that we gave the OK award to.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. We could do the OK draft. And oh, man, stay tuned for that, free bonus.
Oh, man. After the lottery, it just, I don't think I could say, okay, like anymore after that. It'll just get old at that point.
It's true. I mean, it's barely holding on as we speak. It's like Mufasa on the ledge.
Lin's sanity was so weird. Mufasa. I'm sorry, I had to back up for the Lion King reference there. Anyways, is it that Lin's sanity thing, like, just to go back to that, so he was like 24. I mean, I remember it happening, but I didn't really look at his numbers. Like 24.4 points a game, 9 assists, had the Knicks on a 7-game win streak. It was just, it was so short, but like, it was just like major in the NBA at the time. And I guess at the heart of it, it's just because he's the first like American born NBA player of like Chinese or Taiwanese descent, starting in the NBA, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, a boundary breaking event, I feel. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, which like is awesome, you know, the Knicks were doing terribly, I believe, and I'm pretty sure Carmelo was out. He was hurt.
Yes.
And
I think you're right.
You know, this all came out of nowhere. And it was unbelievable because every time you thought that, okay, like, can he do it again? And he would just go do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like a fluke. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's cool that he got a ring with the Raptors. I wish that he could have played more, but
he's fighting to get back in. I mean, I don't see why he couldn't do it. It's not out of the realm of possibility. He's playing for the Warriors G League team, so it's tough to really, you know, he'd be a backup, obviously, to Curry. But I mean, I don't see any reason why he can't play now. He's still doing well in the G League.
Yeah, it'd be good to see him get back in the NBA. What up, boy? What up, boy? That's all we got for today, y'all, whatever day this is that you're listening.
This is the last day of February, and we got an exciting March coming up here with that trade deadline. So
it's true. It's we're on some time travel shit, because when you hear this, February will be gone. There will be no more February. So yeah, we're coming at you from the past. I hope you guys have made a good future for us out there. Tomorrow,
yeah.
Whenever.
Yeah. Yeah. By the time you're listening to this, I hope you've made a better world for me and Alex. Thank you. We'll be gone till November. Yeah. Every time we make a run.
One time.
One time.